Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew, chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus is tested in the wilderness. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but only on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put your Lord God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this," he said, "I give you, if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship your Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
This is the day. This is the day which the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. It's the title and the first line of a choral anthem composed by John Rutter, specifically for the 2011 royal wedding of Prince William and Catherine Middleton. It was commissioned by Westminster Abbey, and it was performed during that wonderful ceremony to both celebrate their wedding, but also to bless them. It included verses from a number of psalms, but specifically from the psalm that we're looking at today, Psalm 91. And it's an anthem, whenever I hear it, it makes the hairs on the back of my neck stand up, because it is just so reassuring. It's the sort of blessing we might want to pronounce on those who are nearest and dearest to us, those whom we love, even our children. The theme focuses on celebration, divine protection for this couple who will become one day, God willing, our sovereign, and joy. And there are these lovely lines such as, "The Lord himself is thy defender. He shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. The Lord shall preserve you from evil. He shall defend thee under thy wings." What a wonderful promise from God for this lovely couple. Many of the Psalms encourage us to put our trust in the Lord and not to fear, because the Lord, we are told, keeps and protects the people that he loves. And because of our confidence in God's providential care, we need not fear any evil or harm, even if it does come to us, because it can only come to us by God's will, and in many cases ultimately for our good. And Jesus emphasized this fact in his teaching, that our sovereign Lord watches over us and cares for us as his children. He gave the example of God caring for the birds of the air, making sure they were always fed. And he said, well, how much more will God care for you, his children? And King David in the Old Testament was able to sleep in the midst of his enemies, because he knew of God's providential care, made him dwell in safety, so that he could say, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep. Psalm 91 suggests that it is possible to choose to live in safety and security and refuge with God. It is possible for each one of us to abide in the shadow of the Almighty. The psalm gives us the opportunity to make the Most High our dwelling place. In verse 1, he or she who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He is my refuge and my fortress, the God in whom I trust. The psalm is really in three parts, and the opening part is this wonderful blessing and assurance. The psalm emphasizes finding security by fostering a deep and personal relationship with God as a refuge. Those who dwell there know his protection, his comfort, and his care. And the word shadow is helpful to us because when we're standing in the shadow of someone, we are in close proximity to them. You can't be standing in the shadow of someone who's far away. So this shadow expresses the concept of nearness. We must walk very close to God, who wants to be our companion and our helper every day. And we will find that his shadow will fall on us. At a time when many people seem to live only for the moment, because they, beyond that, who knows what will happen, this psalm encourages us to look forward to a much bigger picture. But can we take this invitation seriously in the 21st century, as we live in a world which for so many people is insecure, frightening, and unsafe, and which leads many to seek out a great many alternative hiding places? Psalm 91 is a call to confidence in God, who, if you make him your resting place, he will never leave you. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And St. Paul goes on to say in Romans chapter 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or danger? No, he says, in all these things we are more than conquerors. And he goes on to say, for I am convinced that neither death nor life nor any powers will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the second part of the psalm, from verses 9 to 13, is something that we could adopt as a prayer for ourselves each day or each week. And it's a psalm or a prayer that might read like this. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. He will rescue me from every danger and protect me from every deadly disease. He will cover me with his feathers and shelter me with his wings. His faithful promises are my armor and my protection. It's a lovely picture, isn't it, of a mother bird sheltering her chicks under her wings, highlighting both tender care and mighty defense. The psalm goes on to also talk about angelic protection, guiding all believers in ways that we may never realize. Some of us, the Bible tells us, have met angels. Some of us have been ministered to by angels, even though we haven't realized it. And you may have noticed at the end of that gospel reading, after the temptation of Jesus, that he too was ministered to by angels. I don't know what you think about angels, but I have met people who claim to have seen images of angels, and in extreme circumstances, under extreme persecution, some of our fellow believers have also visibly seen angels as a sign of assurance that God is here to protect us. And one of them is the Reverend Andrew White, who was the vicar of St. George's Church in Baghdad, the only Anglican church in Iraq. And before his departure in 2014, he talks about the experience that he and his congregation had under the most extreme persecution that the Christian church has ever known. But many of them saw visions or the appearance of angels, particularly during the funerals of many of those who had been killed by the Islamic State terrorists. So how do we view this wonderful psalm? Well, I might be able to say, well, nothing can touch me. God has installed a divine force around my life. I have a holy insurance policy. Nothing bad can ever happen to me. But, and for those who are engaging in dangerous sports and occupations, there is just a warning of be careful, because this psalm is often misunderstood. And in fact, this promise was quoted by Satan himself in the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. Satan tempted Jesus to create an artificial crisis by throwing himself from a high point on the temple and thereby showing God's protection. And Satan, in fact, quoted from Psalm 91. Promising Jesus God's protection if he were to do this. But Satan, of course, as we had read, had left out those key words. The Lord will give his angels charge over you to protect you, but to keep you in all your ways. And Satan had left out those key words, to keep you in all your ways. And Jesus' response was, do not put the Lord your God to the tests. And it was a way of Jesus saying, do not play lightly with God and do not abuse or take lightly the wonderful promise that we have in this psalm. I think many of us can perhaps in quiet moments look back on moments in our own lives when we have been aware that we have known the protection of God in some divine way. It has either been from protection of imminent danger, or it has even been protection from falling into a sin which may have led us astray. We also know that God has never promised or even given us the promise of protection in our sinful and forbidden ways. And then the third part of this psalm and the final thought is a wonderful blessing. And even if we were just to read verses 14 to 16 to encourage us when we're feeling a bit low, these last three verses are set in the first person, as in fact God speaks his blessing over the people he loves. This is not the psalmist writing to us. He speaks specifically to those who love him. And they're not spoken by the psalmist, but they're spoken by God to God's people. And God assures us and the psalmist of deliverance, of protection, of rescue, and reverence for our lives. During good times and times of trouble, God promises to dwell in each of our hearts as a loving companion and as a presence forever. Our response to God's continual invitation to this loving relationship is really our lifetime journey. It's our spiritual journey. And we learn to grow closer to God as we open our hearts to Him, spending time each day in the quiet shelter of His protection. As we spend time with God, as we listen to God, as we read what He has written to us, as we speak to God, and as we think of Him in our unoccupied moments, and as we come together to worship Him and adore Him. These are wonderful blessings that so many miss out on simply because they are fretting and anxious and have not learned to put their trust in God. But here the psalmist quotes God as saying that the blessings are for those who love Him and acknowledge His name and call upon Him and seek support from what He alone can provide. And the closing lines of that beautiful anthem in the royal wedding are repeated several times. Put thou thy trust in the Lord. Amen.